Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All of that extra money that the government and the ACA subsidies that was given to nearly $1 trillion in healthcare was taken out and given to ICE.
Given to ICE.
So understand how these dots connect.
These guys are flailing. They know that they are going to lose, but they may end up losing their majority functionally way before November. So the question is not to, in my mind, it's not about, you know, oh, is Mike Johnson strong? Is he a strong speaker? Does he have the full confidence of his conference? No. I mean, we know the answer to that question. He is weak. He is effectively, in my mind, a lame duck speaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question is, what are Democrats going to do? How are we going to step forward and meet the affordability needs of the American people at every opportunity when we have power?
All right. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is not a serious person, and he's not being treated like a serious person by the caucus that he is supposed to be controlling in Congress, by the Democrats that he's supposed to be convincing and negotiating with, even by the President of the United States. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is essentially a lame duck speaker. And later on in this video, I'm going to bring in Representative Lauren Underwood, who actually pushed through the ACA bill that just passed on the House floor after 17 Republicans broke with MAGA Mike Johnson to vote to restore the lapsed Obamacare subsidies. The Congresswoman has a bunch of insights on what's going on, not only with ICE, but also with the healthcare extension. So make sure you watch until the end. Drop a like, subscribe if you appreciate the independent media environment bringing you the news. And let's just start with what's happening this morning. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson gives a press conference. In this press conference, he's asked about multiple things, not only Renee Nicole Good, but also about the investigation that has been launched into Fed Chair Jerome Powell, which is clear political persecution. So Speaker of the House Mike Johnson is desperately trying to get back in the good graces of Donald Trump, of his party. So, of course, he toes the party line and defends Trump on this indefensible issue.
The pending probe of Fed Chair Jerome Powell, and given that inflation actually is looking pretty good, how can the American people trust, and how can markets trust that the Fed is truly independent if it looks like there's a criminal investigation into the Fed chair for not complying with the president's wishes? Just now the president posted about Powell lowering it.
Yep.
Yeah, look, I don't. Chairman Powell's an individual. He is not the Fed. He's the chair of the Fed, okay? And it's a serious allegation if he was not truthful in testimony to Congress. That is not a congressional investigation.
The allegation is they went over budgets on building the headquarters. This is the biggest projection I've ever seen, because Trump is the one who has been building a new ballroom, a new library, and having a massive amount of budget dedicated towards that. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson right here is just obfuscating when he says that Powell is an individual, not the Fed. It's very clear what Trump is trying to do by attacking the individual who represents the Fed. Donald Trump has tweeted about Jerome Powell over the past year, literally dozens of times. I have a website that can track all of his posts, and you can look up keywords. When you look up the word Jerome, you just see a slew of deranged posts where Trump is frothing at the mouth saying, too late, Jerome Powell. Too late, Jerome Powell is costing our country hundreds of billions of dollars. Spoiler alert, what's costing our country hundreds of billions of dollars are these tax write-offs for the richest of the rich while we were cutting healthcare for people who are vulnerable, people who need it. MAGA Mike Johnson then continues to be asked about Renee Nicole Good and just lies on her name. You know, I'm just so happy that a year from now, as long as we can continue to keep a steady hand and the guardrails stay on, I truly believe a year from now, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson will no longer be the speaker. He'll still be a representative, but we'll have a Democratic speaker fighting for issues like healthcare, less ICE funding. AOC is so on fire. She points out they're cutting healthcare so they can fund ICE.
But my position has always been clear that ICE funding should be cut. We're seeing what they're doing with this reckless explosion in funding, and mind you, just so everybody knows, I want everybody to understand the cuts to your health care are what's paying for this. All that extra money that everybody's paying right now in their premiums, all that extra money that you're paying, it is paid for with, it is all of that extra money that the government and the ACA subsidies that was given to nearly $1 trillion in healthcare was taken out and given to ICE.
Given to ICE.
So understand how these dots connect. You get screwed over to pay a bunch of thugs in the street that are shooting mothers in the face.
Oh my Lord, perfectly, perfectly said from AOC.
That is what this administration's doing. That's what the Republican Party did.
What are your thoughts about what J.D. Vance was saying last week about how Renee Good was a victim of her own ideology?
J.D. Vance believes fundamentally that what happened to Renee Good is acceptable and what should be okay in America.
Look at the difference in messaging between AOC and the way Speaker of the House Mike Johnson begrudgingly, with low amount of energy, basically defames Nicole Good.
Justin, and White House officials have repeatedly referred to Renee Good as a domestic terrorist, even as the government is actively investigating her killing. Are you concerned that the administration is using too broad a definition of domestic terrorism here? Doesn't it open the door for this admin or a future one to cast an equally broad net to criminalize or surveil American citizens?
I'm going to be intellectually consistent and say, you know, this is my way. I try to reserve judgment on these things until the investigation is borne out. The difference between this and the Fed chairman investigation is, with this, there's, what, six different camera angles on this terrible tragedy that occurred?
Exactly. There's like six different camera angles proving the ICE agent was in the wrong. He's right.
They're in Minneapolis, and we've all seen it. Everybody draws their own conclusions. It's interesting that you can get two people look at the same video and they draw two different conclusions. This is why we have investigations, and I'm confident that will go through. I think the feds, the state should definitely cooperate with the federal investigators. That's how these things work.
Wait a minute. He's inversing reality. The federal investigators, the FBI, aren't cooperating with the state.
And we'll find this out. What I saw, the angle that I saw, was this woman was taunting ICE officers. She was impeding law enforcement. She was violating a number of laws in doing so. They were very patient and asked her multiple times to remove her vehicle and stop impeding their operation, and she refused. Her partner, whoever that was taunting the officer. It was a crazy set of circumstances, and it, from the angle I saw, this is my view. I'm not the investigator, and I'm not the judge and jury, but I'll tell you what I saw is that the vehicle, she revved, she hit the accelerator and hit the ICE officer.
What a disgusting human being. The ICE officer was never hit. His feet were planted to the side of the vehicle. He shot multiple shots through the side window. Also, the idea that just because officers were being taunted, they should be able to lose their shit, murder somebody, and then say effing bitch right after is just a complete misunderstanding of what law enforcement is there to do, a complete misunderstanding of how the state should be used. The state should be used to protect U.S. citizens, not intimidate and taunt them. If you want to see MAGA Mike Johnson slowly losing his grip, losing his power, check out this interview with Representative Lauren Underwood. It's beautiful. She breaks it all down. I am proud to be joined today by Representative Lauren Underwood of Illinois' 14th Congressional District. How are you doing today, Representative?
Hi, Adam. I'm so happy to be with you.
Thank you for joining me. You've rapidly become, honestly, my favorite representative. I see you all over Twitter doing some great messaging, some great work. And I'm from Indiana, but I live in Illinois and I work in Illinois at this current moment. So it's nice to see some really powerful representation out there. Let's start off with a big story. Four Republicans last month joined Democrats on the discharge petition to force a vote on the legislation that would allow an expansion of the ACA subsidies. Now, Representative Mike Johnson tried to delay that vote. Republicans let it expire, but even more Republicans just joined Democrats to pass this through the House. First of all, congratulations, because this bill originated with you. Can you explain to me what this process was like getting Republicans convinced and winning them over?
Well, this has really been an exercise of the extremism of the House Republicans on full display. They went from delay and denial, completely ignoring the issue from the beginning of 2025 until they were drafting the big ugly bill. And then when faced with the prospect of the tax credits expiring and shutdown showdown fight, where the American people really understood that one group of people, Donald Trump and the Republicans, wanted to take away their health care, and another group of people were willing to stand firm in a fight for these basic necessities, like health care being a human right, they saw that the American people stood with us. And so that still wasn't enough to convince the House Republicans that they needed to take action on these tax credits. And so we saw these so-called moderate Republicans try to draft their own proposals that would result in people losing coverage. We saw them beg and plead with the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, to try to get him to bring one of their ill-informed proposals to the floor. The Speaker declined. And that's really what precipitated those four running to the floor to sign the discharge petition, really trying to elbow each other out the way so they could get credit for signing the discharge petition. And then we had a process of several procedural votes that first week of January, where there were really a varying number of Republicans who were willing to vote with us until we had that final passage vote last week on Thursday, where 17 Republicans joined us on a 3-year extension of the extremely popular ACA tax credits.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, on the personal note, I have a close friend who his mom was reliant on the ACA subsidies, but is rather apolitical, doesn't really pay attention to politics or the administration that much until the government shutdown happened and Republicans voted against the extension 14, 15 times in a row to make sure there was no extension of the ACA subsidies. Then she was paying attention. Then she realized, wait a minute, they're trying to take away my health care. Then as December came around and her premiums, according to my friend, rose 400%. 400% after downgrading her coverage, meaning she's getting a worse quality of coverage while also paying more. And she was like, wait a minute, this is directly due to this Republican administration. Can you just lay out the stakes? How does this affect the average American? I talk a lot on my channel about Trump and Mike Johnson's reaction to it, but how does this affect the average person in your district?
So the average American needs healthcare. So we have to start with just that premise, whether they need to be able to get screenings, preventive care screenings, or they need to get vaccines, whether or not they need to get birth control, whether or not they need to be able to fill their prescriptions to manage a chronic illness, or they need to get a procedure, right? Like the average American needs healthcare. And for people who maybe own a small business, maybe a rideshare driver or a waiter, maybe their employer insurance doesn't cover exactly what they need, the marketplace, healthcare.gov, has been a tremendous resource for the American people to go out and purchase healthcare coverage on their own. So that's who we're talking about, is this group of Americans who need to buy their own coverage. And you know, what they've seen is that beginning January 1st, they are facing extremely, like exorbitantly high premium increases. And remember that premium is just the price you pay every month to have that insurance card in your wallet. You still got to pay a copay when you go fill a prescription or see your provider, right? You still have a deductible, which is the amount you have to pay out of pocket before that insurance even covers anything, right? So there's so many other costs. So then to see that premium increase 100, 200, 400%, like your friend's mom, or you know, even higher, makes that healthcare unaffordable, and then people drop coverage. So just today, I saw reporting from the state of Illinois that there's been a coverage drop where you know fewer people enrolled in on Get Covered Illinois to try to sign up for a marketplace plan. And we've seen that across the country where people are just opting out and they're going uninsured. What happens when people go uninsured, Adam? I mean, you know that that means more people die.
Yep.
You know that that means more medical bankruptcies because an emergency or an accident happens and they don't have the ability to get affordable health care. It's devastating.
We're supposedly one of the richest countries in the world, one of the strongest countries in the world. And I like to be patriotic. I like to, you know, uphold America as a great country, but it just, we're failing on the healthcare standard. It's absolutely absurd. Representative AOC had a really good quote. To paraphrase her, she was talking about the ICE raids and she said, they're cutting our healthcare. They're cutting your healthcare in order to fund these insane raids that are going on. So the priorities of the administration are all reversed. How do you see this playing out in the Senate? And Trump said himself, even if it passes the Senate, he's maybe going to veto it. But how do you see this playing out in the Senate?
Well, Donald Trump has been talking out of two sides of his mouth. Just last week, he stood in front of the House Republicans at their retreat at the Kennedy Center and begged them to take on the healthcare issue. And he gave them some ideas for what he wanted to see happen. He wanted to see checks mailed out to every American, which sounds good. But then you have to remember that that means that y'all are going to have to pay several thousand dollars out of pocket every month to then maybe get refunded by who? The IRS in a timely way. And does that sound like a system that works well for the average American? I don't think so.
That's are true. These the Doge checks or the tariff checks or the healthcare checks? Because he's floated this
idea. Healthcare checks, but these are all mythical checks. I haven't seen a check yet. And guess who has to approve those checks? The Congress, the appropriators. And that's like not really what's happening now. He also stood in front of the House Republicans and asked them to do something on prescription drug costs. They've not chosen to do that yet, right? Like, he's been asking the Republicans to take on the healthcare message because he knows that they are getting crushed by Democrats, our unity of message, and the way that the American people have affirmed healthcare as a key issue. So I personally don't take the veto threat seriously because Donald Trump knows that for his own political survival, they need to do something on healthcare. He's so desperate to hold on to their majority in the House that requires them taking an action on healthcare. So the question is, not necessarily in my mind about the Senate Republicans, the question is about the Senate Democrats. Senate Democrats, are you gonna stand firm on the values of healthcare as a human right? Are you gonna stand firm on the values that all Americans deserve to have affordable healthcare? And are you going to negotiate from a position of strength? We just showed the Senate what we can do as the American people representatives, right? And what we did was we stood firm on a principle and 17 Republicans came and joined us. So that's a majority in the House. They've already gotten, right, a straightforward majority vote in the Senate when they brought their clean extension to the floor in December. But I think that the dynamics are a little bit different just because of momentum right now, and we don't have to give away the store. And so in terms of the items that are being negotiated, what I've heard is that the senators are really afraid of something called waste, fraud, and abuse, that people actually use their healthcare when they get it. Maybe they're too scared to hold their friends in big business, those agents and brokers, accountable. But, you know, the idea that there's this like vast fraud in the marketplace on the ACA, that is just a lie.
Elon Musk had 3 months of unchecked executive power to try to find any sort of waste, fraud, and abuse. And guess how many people he recommended to the FBI for investigation? Zero. None whatsoever. There is nobody recommended. You'd think that he would be able to find something there. One final question regarding momentum. Is there a sense that the momentum is shifting against Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson? Because I believe that the number is now 7 discharge petitions have been filed under his tenure. Yep. And that's more than have been filed over the past decade, I believe, which is an absurd, absurd number. 7 discharge petitions against him. Now his majority is dwindling due to the unfortunate death of Representative LaMalfa and due to Marjorie Taylor Greene then resigning. So is there a momentum shift heading into the midterms?
100%. We're about to have a special election in Houston at the end of this month. There's going to be a new House Democrat joining us, which means that the Republicans' margin will be down to 1 vote. And that's if all of them show up. Guess what? Yesterday, there were more Democrats on the floor voting than there were Republicans.
Really? Last week,
there was even. Yes. Adam, what I'm trying to tell you is that these guys are flailing. They know that they are going to lose, but they may end up losing their majority functionally way before November. So the question is not to, in my mind, it's not about, you know, oh, is Mike Johnson strong? Is he a strong speaker? Does he have the full confidence of his conference? No. I mean, we know the answer to that question. He is weak. He is effectively, in my mind, a lame duck speaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, the question is, what are Democrats going to do? How are we going to step forward and meet the affordability needs of the American people at every opportunity when we have power?
You're telling me Republican congressmen and women are getting paid on my taxpayer dollar and aren't showing up to vote whatsoever? That's wild. More Democrats are showing up despite Republicans having the majority.
That's
right. Blows my mind. I want to talk to you a little bit about ICE, because in the state of Illinois and in the city of Chicago, we have seen Donald Trump surge not only the National Guard, but ICE agents against the explicit objection of Governor Pritzker and Mayor Brandon Johnson. Mm-hmm. And Governor Pritzker has talked about this. He would be willing to coordinate in some way with administrations, as he has done prior administrations, to make sure that there is safe enforcement. But Donald Trump has spiked the coordination down, called for the arrest of J.B. Pritzker, called for the arrest of Brandon Johnson. Can you lay out the broad environment in Chicago? And then I want to talk to you about these ICE oversight, its Broadview Center.
Well, we know that
the Department of Homeland Security, through ICE, through Customs and Border Protection, through U.S. Border Patrol, initiated Operation Midway Blitz last fall, where they had really extreme, violent immigration enforcement across the state of Illinois. So that's number one. What I want people to know is it's not just the city of Chicago. It's happening in my district every day and across the great state. Number two, to the point about coordination, Illinois has a state law that prevents, you know, local police departments, county sheriffs from directly coordinating with federal immigration enforcement authorities. But I think you're speaking of is that there is a way to enforce the law, including immigration law, that does not put American citizens, U.S. citizens at risk, that does not, you know, create more violence in our community, does not destroy private property. But instead, what we've seen is that ICE and Border Patrol have come in tear gassing people. They have rammed into cars and caused real property damage to private residences. They have arrested and detained and even deported U.S. citizens, and they have violated all of our constitutional rights. We had Kristi Noem in front of our Homeland Security Appropriations Committee last spring, where she refused to affirm the Bill of Rights, the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments to the Constitution. Yeah. And so, you know, the idea that these people have any respect for the rule of law is completely out the window. And so I think the question is for all of us, what are we doing to protect ourselves and our family members and those that are most vulnerable in our lives? Because these people are ramping up. They're going to be back in full force with more officers. They've been hiring, and some departments tripling the number of people that they have in Illinois, new staff. And my fear is that what we saw happen in Minnesota, or what's been happening over the last couple of weeks in Minnesota, replicates itself in Illinois with more violence, more death, more fear, more terror. And, you know, we cannot stand for it, but this is a survival moment. And the decisions that you make in survival moments can be different than the decisions that you might make day to day.
Do you think Democrats, final question here, do you think Democrats should do more affirmative immigration messaging while also having a strong message on the border? I've seen some clips of Obama back in the President Obama era where he had a very strong message that was still humane and pro-America, but it feels like somewhere during the Biden era, we maybe lost that sort of messaging and created a vacuum for the most far-right type of rhetoric to now pop up and be emboldened within the United States. So where should Democrats lie on immigration? I personally think if you are here and you've committed crimes and you are here illegally, then it's okay to be deported. I think most Americans believe that, right?
I think absolutely. However, we also have to reform the system.
Yeah.
Like, this system is so broken. And I think that, you know, if we're going to have a growing economy, if we are going to be able to affirm the American dream, we are going to have to be serious about these pathways to citizenship, making sure that it doesn't take 10 or 20 years for some of these visa issues to be worked out, to make sure that people have real pathways if they have legitimate claims of fear, that they have real pathways to be able to seek asylum for their own safety, right? And like the idea that, you know, Donald Trump just says, well, the border's closed.
Yeah.
Like that is not a long-term solution to these very real challenges. Even within our own hemisphere, right? Even within, you know, Central America, we have, you know, climate pressures, economic pressures, you know, real violence where people are legitimately fearing for their lives. And when they are fleeing those conditions for their safety, where are people going to go?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that everybody has to come here. That's not what this is. But I do think if we're going to be leaders, then we have to lead. And right now this administration is not doing that.
Yep. Time and time again, we've seen Republicans spike down immigration reform. Even before DACA, Obama had a really good proposal that would increase asylum judges, increase immigration judges, streamline the system. We saw Senator Lankford and some Democrats propose the same bill during Biden's era. Trump told Republicans to shoot it down. So it feels like they're not really focused on a long-term solution. It's just cruelty right now. But thank you, Representative Lauren Underwood. I really do appreciate the time. We should do it more. Since we're close by, let's talk
more. Thank you so much. Take good care, okay? And don't give up hope that we'll be able to hopefully secure breakthrough to extend these ACA tax credits. We'll be able to work together to protect our communities from the violent overreach of the federal immigration enforcement. And then together, we'll be able to win the election and hold Donald Trump accountable.
I speak on behalf of the community when I say thank you for fighting. Thank you for being out there fighting. A handful of Democrats are fighting for a democracy. You are one of them, so thank you.
Thank you. Good to see you.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.